Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. My pleasure, as always. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com, which is brand spanking new look. It has a brand spanking new website. Check it out, ladies and gentlemen. Use it to your advantage. We built it for you. And then, of course, our knowledge base, askjim.biz.biz. And of course, the new one and the knowledge base still have no barriers to entry. If you can get there, why don't you come in and hang out with us, use our stuff. Josh Castell is with us. He's our good friend, longtime member of our Brain Trust. Josh is the author of The Science of Sales Success. He also is, his company is called MeasureMax, and he helps people like you and me make sure that we not only survive in a challenging economy, but also thrive. Josh, welcome back to the show.
Good morning. Thanks, Jim. It's great to be back.
It's good to have you back, Josh, as always. One of the biggest challenges that we have these days, Joshua, is when we're trying to make sure that we survive a downturn in the economy, we get a little bit weak knees and we get a little sand under our feet, and we think that the first thing we need to do to customers is give in to the tendency to lower prices, and that's a mistake, isn't it?
Absolutely, and it is a natural sort of knee-jerk reaction, and so some of the things that I'm positive that customers recognize that there's no magic bullets out there. You're not going to do one thing 1,000% better. You're going to do, the key is to do, 1,000 things 1% better, and probably the first thing I would do with all my key customers is go out, meet with them, and ask how the economy has impacted them. Who knows? There might be certain opportunities to some of your customers that you'll be surprised that they see opportunity here, not just downside.
Don't presume everybody is having a tough time.
Exactly. And especially businesses, here's the businesses and market segments that jump out to me that, based on what you look at, is any business that's countercyclical to the economy, i.e. service businesses, are probably going to do pretty well. People can't pay to replace. They can pay to repair. So if you're doing business with, those types of companies, it's probably not going to impact you as much. Also, reassess the market segments that you're looking at. The growth industries are still higher education and hospitals, and to a certain extent, certain government services, green services. Those still have opportunities, and you got to reassess: is that where I should be spending my time?
Well, and the other thing, I like what you said about asking them how things are going for them, because this is such an important thing. One of the things I've been telling my audience now for several months, Josh, is that this is a practice that you should be doing every year, and that is making sure that you get in front of your customers. Even if you have salespeople who call on these folks every day, if you're the owner of a small business, sometime during the year you need to call on every customer, basically, if it's humanly possible, and just say, hey, I just want you to know that we appreciate your business. And now would be a great time to go there and say, hey, look, I know a lot of the economy's scaring a lot of people, and I just wanted you to know that we're interested in how you guys are doing and what can we do to help you. Really finding out what's going on there and seeing what you can do. And it's amazing, Josh, if you can have that, if you can be proactive with that approach, and you talk to them before they talk to you, you approach them before they approach you. It's amazing how when you do that and talk about value, the price thing kind of goes away to some degree, doesn't it?
You're right. My daddy used to say you might as well walk to a place you're going to get dragged to anyway. It helps. It's a lot easier on everyone.
That's a good point. He probably used that on you a couple of times, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. But that, Jim, that's a great point about being proactive. And the other thing is, now's the time to make sure that you are a customer expert, not just a product expert. And what I mean by that is, how well do you understand your customer's customer? So is there things in your products that help them with their customers, you know, who they're serving? Mm-hmm. And if you can do that, again, that takes the price issue a little, you know, at least minimizes it. It may not eliminate it, but it does minimize it.
Can we stipulate right now, Josh, for the next while at least, a little while, for another year or so, can we just all make the assumption that nobody out there really wants to buy anything? Anybody out there who's a prospect for you, in this day and time, right now, they really want you to help them either solve a problem or accomplish an opportunity. They don't really want to buy anything. Would you agree with that, Josh?
Absolutely. Right now, I think the biggest competitor is the cost of doing nothing, status quo. You know, everyone's in this hold pattern, so you have to create and help create a genuine sense of urgency why they should be still moving forward, still making purchases. But, you know, it has to be a good reason because, you know, as you said, you know, nobody's looking to buy right now, which means that everyone's looking to say, okay, what happens if I just say status quo? And they might be confusing status quo with staying in the same place, while it might really mean that you're moving, that they're moving behind, that they're losing ground.
Right, right. Absolutely. Well, that's something that I really think that, you know, I've been talking against the idea of selling the product of the month for years now. But certainly, let me put it this way, the quickest way, in my opinion, to failure and to not surviving through this downturn that we're in and that we're going into, Josh, the quickest way to not survive that is to go out and try to sell product.
Exactly. And you know, again, you need to, more than ever, like you said, proactively go meet with the key principals, ask them how the economy is impacting them, you know, what other things can you do to support them? You know, maybe you do offer to extend terms and you bake in the interest rate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you know, just things like that. Offer
and be creative. We're gonna take a break in a second. When we come back, I'd like to talk about some ways we can be creative about what you were just saying.
Okay.
About some ways to think about this. You know, I agree with Josh about not lowering your price. But maybe you got to think about the relationship a little bit differently than you have been in the past. It's 20 after. I'm Jim Blasingame. The Small Business Advocate, Josh Costell, is our guest. His book is called The Science of Sales Success, available wherever books are sold. We're back. It's 23 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for staying with me. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. Josh Costell is our guest. He's our good friend, a longtime member of our Brain Trust, the author of The Science of Sales Success. Josh, give us your website, please.
It's www.measuremax.com. Measuremax.com.
Right. So check that out, folks. They can find out more about your book there, too, can't they?
Absolutely. Thanks.
The Science of Sales Success, also available in bookstores. Josh, you know, one of the things that I wanted to talk about in a second is about being creative, about how you hold on to customers. But I think it's a good thing to compare your relationship with customers right now with your relationship with bankers. One of the things I've found is that if your company's in trouble, you're going to have to talk to your banker at some point in time. Every small business I've ever known, when the company's having financial challenges, even if you're selling plenty of stuff, Joshua, that doesn't mean you're collecting it well.
Right.
You know, people squeeze you all the time. Customers squeeze you with their payments all the time. And so a phone call is going to be made between you and your banker. Make the call yourself, because if you wait for the banker to call you, you're already too late. You're already in trouble. And I think it's the same way with customers. What do you think? Because Joshua, if you wait till your customer calls you, then you're probably already in trouble. They're already ready to say, we're not going to do business anymore, we're going to cancel our contract, or we need to lower price or something. But if you can go to see them before they come up with anything on their own and offer to help them, it's harder for them to kick you out, isn't it?
Jim, you hit right on the head. You know, customers just don't want to see you when there's a RFP or opportunity or a project in the air. The way you build a relationship is when you see them when there's no project in the air.
Right, exactly.
You know, and one of the things that I've started seeing done that seems fairly effective is going to your key customers and tell them that, listen, we're going to focus on our top 20 customers differently this year. We'd like for you to be one of those top 20, top 10, whatever
yep.
you want the number
yep.
to be.
Yep.
And here's what we would do when you're top 20, and here's what we would expect out of our top 20. And
right.
have that sort of dialogue. Make them feel special and really do something different for the customers that you want to give privilege of focus to.
What is there anything wrong, Josh, with going to them and saying, okay, I want you to understand that or say to them, once you find out, let's say you find out it is an industry that's having a tough time. Let's say it is one of the industries that's not doing well, and you go to them and you say, look, tell me how things are going. They tell you that, you know, things are not good. And you say, well, you know, what can I do to help you? What can we do to help you with this? And they may say, well, they're probably going to say, well, you can lower my price. And, you know, and I will tell you, Josh, we got to be frank here and say that there are cases where you may have to lower your price a little bit. If there may be nothing anybody can do about it, but make sure that when you do that, you're giving them something. Make sure you get something back, like maybe a 2-year, 3-year agreement, where over in a year from now, the price goes back up. What do you think?
Great. You know, again, you know, you don't want to make a unilateral concession, and if you're going to give something up, get rewarded for doing so.
Yeah.
You know, get that. You know, like you said, if you might have to lower your price. Some of the other things is maybe you offer a cash discount. Maybe you extend the terms and, you know, put some interest in. Maybe you have other accessories that aren't moving real quick for you that you can add to their package.
Right.
You know, and get rid of some of slow-moving inventory.
Right.
You know, there's just you have to take, right now, nothing should be sacred. You know, just get out that whiteboard and say, okay, how do I provide more value to my client? And the first thing to do is ask your client that and just, you know, up front tell them, hey, I understand a price, price is table stakes. It's a given.
Yeah.
Now, what are some of the other things?
You know, another thing that you can do, I think, Josh, is this is a good time to maybe to train your customers how to manage especially if you're delivering inventory to them, if you're delivering a product to them. You know, sometimes companies don't know how to manage their own inventory, customers don't, and they buy too much stuff, and then they owe you for it, and then they take 90 days to pay for it, when the two of you could have done a better job delivering them what they needed just in time.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't owe you so much money, and you wouldn't have to buy so much stuff to deliver them.
And expanding on that, Jim, maybe you go, if they're resellers of what you're doing, maybe you go with them. Maybe you put on a sales training program for them on a Saturday, so
right.
it doesn't cut into their selling time.
Right.
You know, there's different things that you can do. Maybe, you know, you also can help them identify customers or market segments that they haven't thought about.
Right. Right. You know, the main thing here, Josh, that we're trying to get across, folks, is, you know, we're just coming up with some ideas for you. The main thing that we're trying to get across is, as we move into the rest of this year and into next year, the people who keep the customers the longest and the most successfully, Josh, I think, and I think you agree with me, are the ones who can be the most creative at serving the customer, not selling product.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Right. Josh, give us the website one more time.
MeasureMax.com.
The book is called The Science of Sales Success. Josh Costell with a C is one C and two L's on the end. Hey, Josh, thanks for being here. Good job today, as always.
Thanks. Great having you, and continued success to you and your listeners.
Thank you, Josh. See you next time. Quick break. Stay with me. I'll be right back with Trish Rubin.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.